Well, it's an honor and privilege as we pause and we reflect and we remind ourselves of just really this time of remembrance. You know, the Bible says when we come to communion, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Right? And it reminds us of a moment to get out of ourselves for a second, that we don't come to communion because we're worthy, we're good, we got it together, look at us. No, we get out of ourselves and we come to communion because he's worthy. He's good. The Bible says, lest anyone would boast, we can't get to heaven based off of our good works. Amen? Oh, if I just get a little better, if I just have a little, tip the scales just a little and have a little more on this side, then I'll be okay. Listen, you can spend your whole life spinning your wheels, and that's all you will ever do. You see, we're not saved by good works, but we're saved to good, do good works. I can't help but want to serve. I can't help but want to share Christ. I can't help but want to love my neighbor because of his great love and what he's done for us. We're challenged to remember, lest we forget. Every day as I walk, I remember, I remind myself, I try to, that we have freedoms in this country that many, many around the world do not have. They don't have at all. And that the luxuries that you and I enjoy is not something to weigh heavy, oh, shame, bad us. No, not at all. God says he gives some the ability to make money. He gives some the ability of that. Why? So that they can sow into the kingdom. And you and I have the ability, because God so saw it fit, that you would be born here in Canada or come to Canada and make Canada your home, that we, and that who, even though we don't feel rich, and many of us in this room, we're like, man, we're struggling here, to around the world, we are incredibly rich. And that, I don't know, this is going back a few years, it was $11 and some cents for 1 million Turkish lire. $11 Canadian, 1 million Turkish lire. You see, even though we compare ourselves to the States and, you know, the euro and that idea, our dollar's not as strong, you know, our economy is pretty strong compared to around the world. This morning, we want to join with many churches around our nation and many nations around the world as we join to pray and remember our brothers and sisters in the Lord that are being persecuted and are struggling just because they say they love Jesus. So we're going to flip the slide for me, Jamie. I want you to listen to the...
We know that more than 2 billion people in the world are Christian. But are you aware that 245 million of these are persecuted? Think about that. Since the beginning of the church, Christians have been imprisoned, tortured, even killed. Persecuted unjustly. For over 25 years, Open Doors has been collecting data to understand and determine where, how, and why our brothers and sisters are being persecuted. And yearly, we create a ranking with the top 50 countries where it is the most dangerous to be a Christian. The World Watch List. The strong dictatorship and lack of religious freedom have kept North Korea at the top of the rankings since 2002. After many attacks on churches and several fatalities, Russia is now on the list after years of close observation. And with the continuing escalation of Christian persecution in the most remote areas of India, that country now enters the top 10 of the list. Whether persecuted by religious nationalists, your own family or community, or government itself, every Christian represented on this list needs support to continue speaking and living their faith. Go to our website and learn.
in your bulletin last week, and then I printed it again just in case you didn't bring it back because we put it in a little early. You'll see this little piece of paper here and on the back. And this is the different nations and different places that is the most difficult to be a Christian. Now, this isn't put together to say, oh man, I'm not traveling there, right? It's not about that. It's so that you and I can be aware, so you and I can pray. Amen? How many know if you don't know anything, you don't know what's going on, it's hard to pray, right? Sometimes as pastor, I'm the last one to find out about things. I find out later, so it's hard for me to be praying about something if I don't know about it. Well, it's the same idea here. We put this list together and we're presenting it so that you can take it home and you can be praying for your brothers and sisters around the world that are needing prayers, that are needing connection and help and support as they journey and they attempt to keep moving forward. An Egyptian pastor, and that, next slide, Jamie, he shared out loud, he says, we pray that we will be faithful in persecution, even if it costs our lives. And that we would be faithful in serving the Lord, even if it costs our time, our energy, our money. Maybe it might cost us a friend. Maybe it might cost us a family member to follow God. But around the world, it's costing them their home, their job, their life, their kids, their wives, their husbands. It's costing them everything. And here's an echo from a pastor in Egypt, facing intense persecution, and he's not praying. Oh God, make it stop. God, just make everything go easy. Oh God, just help me with that. Oh God, just blessings, blessings, blessings. But he's echoing. He says, Lord, help us to be faithful. You give and you take away, but blessed be his name.
No one is an individual Christian anywhere in the world. We are part of a body. One body of Christ in the world, and I want to be part of that in reaching out and supporting whatever they need, feeling the pain when they are tortured. They have a right to be assisted.
This isn't just about pain and suffering and the hurt and the loss that they're facing, but in the midst of all of that, because they're remaining faithful, God is just exploding in many areas. Some of the toughest places, they're seeing the greatest moves of God. And I echo that, and I'm trying to help us understand that when you're in your worst situation and the things just are crashing against you, the Bible says when you are weak, he is strong, and that you get to realize him in a greater way. Why? Because you're starting to lose control of something. It's being ripped out of you. You're feeling it. Your heart is broken. Stuff is happening. Something's going on. It's in those moments we begin to realize, whoa, he has never left me. He's right here. Oh my goodness. God, you are bigger than I ever thought you were. And this is the echo that's coming from our brothers and sisters around the world. They're not asking us to pray, oh God, make everything stop and easy. No, they're asking us to pray that they would remain faithful. And they're praying for us that we would remain faithful. We would not grow weary in doing good. We would not grow weary in what God would have for our lives. One by one, the Bible is impacting the lives of a growing number of young people in Muslim-majority countries. And that discipled by mature leaders, they discover what being Christian is all about, living for God's word every day. Rami, and that says, God wants me to be strong and courageous in reaching out to others. Rami is a 25-year-old young believer. And that, and as a young believer, he joined a Bible study in Jordan. And that he's, as he's been learning and studying and engaging with other people and trying to get rooted in God's word, Rami, and that was from a nominal Christian family in Jordan, and he considered himself to be an atheist when he joined the group. He told other partners that he had a secret agenda. I thought I would be able to convince the group of my own ideas about rejecting God. That is why I joined. So I attended the meetings, but in my heart I knew I was just acting. During praise time, I praised, and during prayer time, I also seemed to be involved. But deep inside, I wanted to convince them that there is no God. However, the living God had another plan for Rami, and that my act became more and more difficult to uphold, he says. Because when meeting with these people, I felt a feeling I had never experienced so deep before. Joy. I just couldn't deny the love the group was showing me. Gradually, Rami opened his heart to God. And during one of the meetings, he made a decision to follow Christ. When I made that decision, he says, I felt a joy and a peace that I'd never felt before. In my old life, I experienced what worldly joy means, but now I know the biblical joy. God helped Rami to quit a number of addictions he was struggling. Day by day, God is changing me, he says, into the image he wants me to be. He's changing my character. He's changing my attitudes. Even my family and parents know this change in my life. The most important thing in my life now is serving God. Rami says his favorite Bible text is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Nearly 73% of the world's population live under religious restrictions. 73% of the world's population live under religious restrictions. Each month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed. And 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians, such as beatings, abductions, rapes, arrests, forced marriages, all sorts of different things, just because they say they love Jesus. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. Jamie, next slide. And that says, for we know that in as much as we have done unto one of the least of these, our brothers and sisters, we have done it unto him. And that, if you believe in that statement, can you repeat this phrase with me? We hear the call. What's the call? The call to pray. The call and then the echo of our brothers and sisters around the world challenging us to open our eyes and our ears and to join with them for Jesus to be lifted up. Next slide. North Korea. North Korea is number one on the list. It's a communist and post-communist oppression, and that is the source of the persecution. 25 million people live in North Korea. There's 300,000 Christians. It's really hard to get a number on them because it is so intense, the persecution. And that, but through Open Doors and other organizations, that's the estimate that they feel there is. The main religion is atheist and traditional beliefs that their dictator is God and has set himself into there. Next slide gives us just a little bit of a profile when they are doing the scoring and walking through that 65.5% of all Christians are facing violence. So that means really almost one in seven. If we broke down 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, okay, 8, 9, 10, with the front two here in this group, and that seven of you would face intense persecution if you were in North Korea. I mean, it's pretty high, is it not? Yet, the church in North Korea is thriving. It's growing underground, in behind places. And I say the church, I'm not saying organized buildings. I'm saying you and me. I'm talking about the people. They're growing in the midst of this intensity, and they're saying, pray with us. Pray with us that light would shine, and that pray with us that the kingdom of darkness will fall and the kingdom of God will raise. That's what they're asking. That's what they're calling us when we say, remember us and pray.
It wasn't long ago that I had the privilege of spending some time with a remarkable lady called Hae Woo. She's North Korean, 70 years old, and hands down one of the most energetic people I've ever met. But Hae Woo's life has been full of trauma. In 1997, in the midst of a great famine in North Korea, Hae Woo's daughter, in her mid-20s, starved to death in her own home. Hae Woo's husband escaped to China. He found God. But sadly, he was caught by the secret police. And 6 months later, he died in a North Korean prison camp. Hae Woo said to me, "I was shocked to hear that my husband had become a Christian. But instinctively, I knew that he had found the truth." It wasn't too long after this that Hae Woo herself escaped to China and, like her husband, through a series of events, became a Christian. Hae Woo was caught by the secret police. She was repatriated to North Korea and placed into a prison camp. As I spent time talking with Hae Woo about life in these prisons, death so rampant that bodies would lay on the ground for 3 or 4 days without being cleaned up. Stories of mental and physical abuse that would make you sick to the pit of your stomach. I couldn't help but wonder, what is it about people like Hae Woo that makes them risk everything for the privilege of being in a relationship with Jesus? You see, in the middle of one of the darkest places on earth, Hae Woo chooses to do something so radical, so dangerous, and so Christ-like. She said to me that in the middle of this prison, God gave her a heart to evangelize, to tell my fellow prisoners about Jesus. And so right here in the middle of a North Korean labor camp, a secret fellowship, a secret church begins.
As we think of our North Korean brothers and sisters who are persecuted across the world, and that I think of Revelations in chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, to the angel of the church of Samaria write, these are the words of him who is first and last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say you are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I give you life as a victor's crown. Whoever hears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. You know, the Bible tells that we are going to face persecution. In Canada, and that we are hearing the rumbling of persecution that is going to start to be coming down from our government circles. And that as there is laws and there's other things that are being passed and being in the background movements right now, from conversion theology to other different things that are being pushed and trying to be pushed through, that is going to make it pretty hard for a Christian to stand. And so I say to the faint of heart, now is the time to bend your knee to the Lord. If it's been a long time since you've bent a knee to him, now is the time to bend again. Because if it's not real, you won't last. Because in persecution, it has a way of drawing everything out from within. It's not the form of godliness. They would never survive in North Korea. They would never survive in the different nations that they face if it wasn't for a real God that lives with us every day. And so open your hearts to him. Scripture says in Hebrews 13:3, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. This is why we take this time. This is why we're pausing, is because the Bible has told us to do this. In remembrance. If you believe in that scripture, would you repeat after me? We hear the call. In Proverbs 24, 11 and 12, he weighs our hearts and he protects our lives. And he will judge us according to what we have done. That's in Proverbs 24. And that we hear the call. In John 15, 13, he says, this is how we know that what love is. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We hear the call. And that number 12 on the watch list is the nation of Nigeria. We just heard and that about Nigeria in many different incidences on the news. and that there's 192 million people in Nigeria, 89 million of them are Christian. In that next slide, and that you'll see that the violence to Christians this past year is 9.9 out of every 10 Christians have faced violence this year. It has just ramped to the height. And it has just been incredible what has been taking place in the middle of Nigeria and the struggles that they are facing. Some of our prayers that go up for those that are in Nigeria specifically is for God's protection over believers, especially the Christian women in danger of kidnap and forced into marriage to Muslims. It is very common, and it is happening more and more and more in the day that we live today. The next prayer that we want to pray is for God's comfort and strength for the thousands of displaced Christians. And that is militants and others will roll into a Christian community and destroy and raise everything. Beating, raping, all sorts. And so it pushes the Christians out and they have to leave everything with just very little in their hands. They don't know where to go, where they'll be welcomed. And they end up in refugee camps that are sometimes the best that people are trying to do, but they're sometimes incredibly horrific to live in. We ask that God to supply the needs of neglected Christian villages that are without water and health care because of all of the persecution that has happened around them. Let's pray. Jesus, we just think of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. God, it's just one of the many nations, Lord. But Lord, we think of them specifically, praying especially for the young women. God, the young women that are being forced into marriages and kidnapped and raped and other things that are happening. God, we just pray, Lord, that you would come around a protection, put a barrier around them. God, I pray you'd set your angel before them, Lord. God, would you comfort and strengthen the displaced thousands upon thousands of Christians that just, they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. Everything they had, everything they knew has been taken from them. God, we ask, Lord, that you would supply for their needs. Lord, in those remote villages that are being tormented over and over again by militants and others, God, Lord, they're poisoning their wells and doing other things just to try and make life difficult for them. God, would you send your manna? God, would you send, Lord, and as they pray and they strike a rock, would it just pour fresh water? God, whatever they need, you said you shall supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory. So God, would you come to them now as we pray today in Jesus' name.
We are living in our country, in our own community, like living in hell. It is so painful. It is very, very painful. Our people are still suffering. Most especially Christians. They are the ones that their churches got burnt, their houses got burnt, they destroyed their farms, destroyed their stores, destroyed everything. You know, one thing that encouraged us was the faith in Christ Jesus. If you hear, if you ask them, they will tell you, they thank God Jesus because he has saved them, he has delivered them, and they are not going to give up their faith because Jesus had died for them. When we see our brothers coming from outside, just like this one, we are so excited. We see as if Messiah has come. We see as if people have understood our problem or have seen what we are passing through and they have come to identify with us. One of them just came and told me, Bishop, today I'm going to cook with my family. You can see the excitement. I said, that is good, brother. And he went to pick his bag of rice. All of them were so excited. We were so happy. Next Sunday is going to be testimony in all the churches, because it's going to be a testimony of provision. We are so happy that you people came at a time that we needed you most. Your prayers can go a long way to provide protection for all of us in the Northeast. So we want to thank God for what God is going to use any one of you to do, especially to the Northeast. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you very much.
Many organizations and many people that we can partner with, and that to support and to help. Open Doors is one of them. ERDO, our Emergency Relief and Development Organization, out of the POC is another one. There's many, many ones that you can do to reach out. But as he echoes there, the greatest thing that you can do is pray. And that sending money is good, and going and doing things is good. But if we don't pray, all we get is what we can do in the physical. But when we start to pray, it gets multiplied in what God can do in the spiritual. And how many know one touch from God can make a whole lot more difference than a $5 bill, right? And that's why we need to pray. That's why we're taking time this morning to remind ourselves. We're taking time to pause and to remember. Brother Andrew said, our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prisons, no doors that are closed that to us when we pray. If you flip this slide, Jamie. It's a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to come to communion. Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. They call out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. We hear the call. Revelation 12 says, and they overcame him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell on the earth. We hear the call. In Isaiah 63, 9, in all of their affliction, he was afflicted. Jamie, can you just slip past the next thing right to the communion slide? Ushers, I'm going to ask if our ushers would come forward. At this time, I ask the caller to come back. We take a few moments here and more than a pause and reflect on what Christ has done for us. The ultimate sacrifice, amen? The ultimate sacrifice. And that we know that persecution is going to continue in the world that we live. It's just going to continue because we live in a broken world. Wars and rumors of wars are continuing all around us, the threats and everything else. But what Christ did was once and for all. And anytime, any place, we can come in remembrance to him. That's our living hope. That's our hope that we have in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the stuff we face, that all we have to do is lift our eyes a little bit higher, knowing that our great hope comes in Christ. And he defeated everything. He conquered everything for you and for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In your own words, just begin to thank him. He is your living hope. On Christ, a solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's in you, Lord, we place our trust. It's in you that we place our hope. Is there anyone here today that did not receive? That would like to receive? Did we miss anyone? In Isaiah 55, it says, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor for what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. That's what Christ came to do, is fulfill that and bring that covenant to you and I, that we could come to him anytime, any place. Then no one could take him from us. No demon, no angel, no principality, no sickness, no famine, no persecution, no wars, no rumors of wars. Nothing can take us from him. No pain, no loss. Nothing can take us from him. And Jesus came to seal that as he conquered death and hell. And he took the keys that we no longer have to be a prisoner to anything. Yet though they try to slay me and try to beat me or try to do things, yet will I still serve him. This is our echo back to Jesus as remembering him. It's our echo back to say, Lord, we will remain faithful. Amen? We will remain faithful. On the night that he was betrayed, they took the bread, represented his broken body, represented all the physical things, all the things that you and I are going to face in life. It represented that, and he says, my body is broken for you. And as you take this, I want you to remember, no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, remember, I know, I understand, and I also conquered it. So come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. How do we begin to express our gratitude to you? How do we begin to express our love and everything else inside of us that just stirs around when we stop and we think of just all that you've done? Help us to be faithful. Help us to remain faithful. Lord, to call out and to lift up, and to release our testimonies. Lord, to call down the kingdom of heaven onto this earth when we see something that is broken. Help us to remain faithful to your cause, and that is to seek and save that which is lost. That everyone would come to the saving knowledge of you. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful to your will and your way. It's so easy to get distracted on our own. But remind us and help us, Holy Spirit, to stay on track, to stay on the narrow road, and to walk faithful and remain faithful. Jesus, likewise, after supper, he took the cup that represented his blood that was about to be shed. In this grape juice, that's what it is. It's a representation of that to remind us of this new covenant, of that promise that he made to David, that promise that he made in Isaiah to you and to me. All who are thirsty, come to me. All those that are hungry, come to me. If you're looking for something more than life, it's Jesus. And this is the echo he gives to us. He says, and it represents a new covenant that every one of us have free access now because of what Jesus did on the cross. So let's partake together and say thank you to him.